then, okay? Everything that's going on. So, listen, this is an appointed time. God's got you here on purpose, okay? So you're here on purpose. So don't think it's no happenstance. Somebody asked you, or you know, you got up this morning and made the effort. And well, I may no, you didn't make it on your own. God got you here. And if He's got you here, then He wants to do something with you. And whatever He wants to do with you, let Him do. Amen. Don't hold back. And you say, well, what if He touches me early in the service? Well, come. We'll either keep preaching or we'll worship with you. Amen? But do business with God. I believe this message will have a little bit of a hook for everybody all the way through. You say, what if I mess up the service? You can't. You can't really mess up the service if you're obedient to God. Amen? Y'all ready? Have I gave you time to find Psalm 27? All right, let's get in the Word. Psalm, we're going to hope to get to verse 10. We're going to hope, okay? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? David asked this question to himself. I tried to get real slick and try to get in here and find out where and when this psalm was written, but nobody knows. But it doesn't really matter, because David had so many situations in his life that this would be relevant to him, that it wouldn't matter when it happened or when he wrote it. It was necessary for every believer to have this. Amen? Is the Lord your light? See, you know what they called David the light of Israel. Do you know that? Matter of fact, the nation of Israel's got a Star of David on it. Y'all know that? He was recognized as the light of Israel, but he was using borrowed light. Or what we'd call reflected light. Or maybe in our world, moonlight. Do you know what moonlight is, right? Moonlight is only reflected light of the sun. That's all we are, right? We don't have any light in ourselves. Matter of fact, God, it says, I think it's 1 Peter 2 and 9, said Jesus came into our darkness and gave us His marvelous light. Amen? Y'all remember that day, right? Y'all remember when you were living in the dark place and everything seemed dark and getting darker, and all of a sudden a light walked in? If you don't know that day, praise God, let it be today. Because I love that day. That was the best day of my life. It was kind of coincided. Write this down, make a note. It coincided with the worst day of my life. What do you mean? It was the worst day, yet the best day. It was the darkest day, but the lightest day. Y'all know what I mean? Because guess what? You can't get saved till you get lost. You can't get light until you realize you need the light so bad, because you're sitting in the darkest place in the world. Hey, Jesus is our light, and it's a borrowed light. It's a reflected light. It's a light that came in, and without it, we would have no light. What I want to say about that is, if you'll get this, is guess what? There's no good thing in us. I've run into some people who say, man, you're so good now. No, I'm not. I'm not so good. God's good. Amen? The only thing good about me is Jesus Christ. And if He hadn't came in and changed, I'd still be living in darkness, doing darkness, and running in darkness, and couldn't see. But Jesus came in and shined a light, and that's what I'm grateful of. And if you get this, you can have this same light. You can have it. It's simple. Amen? Did you know this? Write this down. We make it complicated, but salvation is simple. It is easy. Really, it is. Now, it ain't easy how we got it, because Jesus had to die on a cross for it. He had to purchase our sin debt. But it's as easy as saying, give it to me. It's a gift. It's sitting out there for you to receive. You can have it. And when it does, guess what? Like Tom Modell says, He'll turn the light on for you. Amen? He'll turn the light on for you. And you'll know, and people will notice the light is on. You'll be a different person. You'll be different. All things will become new. Old things will pass away. We use that word pass away in a reverence of dying. Or is your old man dying? Is your new man coming to life? And is the light on? Because everywhere you go, you'll shine a little light in a dark place. As a Christian, when you walk into dark places, you'll light it up. Some people tell me, as a Christian, we don't need to do this. Hey, we need to go everywhere. Wherever God sends you, let Him send you, and you be a light there. On your job, in your school, in your community, in your family, turn the light on. Some of the world don't have any opportunity. You make an opportunity. You got a sphere of influence. Turn the light on in that influence.
There's people waiting for the light to come. Listen, be honest with yourself. You was happy the light that came into your life. You put on like you didn't need light. You put on like you was happy in the darkness. You put on like everything was working out until the real light showed up and you repented and turned to God and you were like, thank God the light showed up. Some people tell me all the time, that person right there, they seem like they're so far away they'll never get saved. Hey, that's the person that's closest to getting saved a lot of times. A lot of times we think the person that speaks real nice and says the right words are close to getting saved and they're still putting people off. It's usually the people that you think don't stand a chance. God's digging on them as much as anybody. I love that about God, don't you? He don't give up on nobody. And if you got somebody you're thinking of right now in the back of your mind, well, God's probably gave up on somebody. You might be the only one still praying. Keep praying. You might be the only one shining a light. Keep shining a light. Well, they'll hate me. Well, it doesn't matter if they get saved. They won't. Let them hate on. Amen. Until they get saved, and you'll be one of the greatest loved ones they've ever had. Are y'all worried about that verse 10 by now? Me too. The Lord is my light. He is my strength. I love this part right here. He is my strength. He is my buckler. He is my shield. He is my high tower. Amen. He is the place I run into when I am weak. When you run out of yourself, you run into Him. There's some people in here right now, you don't know them, but they're sitting here, they're sitting in church right now, but most people wrote them off. Some people wrote you off. They can't even believe you're still alive. It'd be all right every once in a while if one of you would say amen. Some of your family, thank you, brother. Hey, some of your family done wrote you off. They done thought you went too far. They thought, hey, there's no hope for him. There's no hope for her. She's done gone. He's done gone. Hey, it is. And guess what? Here you are Sunday morning sitting in the house of God, worshiping God, praising God, getting your praise on. And then them people are sitting there going, I can't believe he's still alive. I can't believe she's still breathing. And beat all, I can't believe she's sitting in the house of God. I can't believe he's over there. What kind of church will let him in? This one. What kind of church will let her in? This one, amen. I was standing out on the front today. I said, I don't know if I could pastor any other church but this one. Why? I said, because we're a house full of broken people, and we'll welcome broken people in. We ain't one of those churches that say, hey, man, we got it all figured out. No, we got Jesus, and we're trying to get it figured out, and we'd love for you to come in and join us and help us get it figured out, and we'll help you get it figured out. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you're standing so strong, you're a strong Christian. I ain't a strong Christian. I just got a strong God. Amen. Amen. I found that he's strong. Amen. I can lean on him. I can run into him. I can go into the pavilion. I can go into the high tower. I can strap on the buckler and the shield. I can run into him when I am weak. Amen. On my weakest hour, I can hide in Jesus Christ. When everybody else thinks you're strong, I mean, not on Sunday morning. Everybody believes we're strong on Sunday morning. I'm talking about when you're miserable, when you're depressed, when the enemy's got you oppressed. Here you are. You can get in a place and hide in Jesus Christ. When you're scared out of your mind and you're still relying on Jesus. It's good, ain't it? I love that he's my strength. I love the question. Listen to this. Listen what he asked. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? That's a rhetorical question to yourself. Now let me break this down. Every once in a while, when the devil really rages against you, because he does, not people, but the devil. Because guess what? We wrestle against principalities and higher powers. Sometimes he uses people, but praise God, that ain't who we're warring against. I ain't against people, and people really ain't against me. Really, be honest with you, some people, if they get converted, be the best Christians you ever met. See, Paul used to be a warrior against the church, but all he needed to do is get converted. Amen? Now hear me. Listen, sometimes you got to ask your question, not who will, just got to, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I've got the light of God in me. I've got God's strength. Whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear? Nobody. The answer's nobody. The answer's nothing. So I'm telling you, that will take down the enemy in your mind faster than anything else. You got to remind yourself. Amen. Now let's go on. Let's get it out. Y'all ready? Check this. I love this stuff. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. Y'all see this? Now listen, I'm being honest with you. David's talking about a real thing that happened to him. A lot of times ours is spiritual. Now, it can act itself out in different physical forms, but I'm telling you right now, more than one time, David had kings and kingdoms against him. Saul had dispatched the whole army of Israel. He had spies in all the land, and every time David went somewhere and thought he got a break in a cave or in a wood or in a mountain region, he thought, my gosh, I finally got some rest. Anybody in here feel like you take a deep breath and you're like, all right, man, whew, devil's got me wore out, man. The enemy's wearing me out. Man, whew, I'm glad I'm in this cave. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, a whole army rolls up in the cave. Amen? Saul and the whole army rolls up in the cave. You're in the woods. Next thing you know, somebody says you're in the woods. Guess what? The whole army rolls in the woods. And David literally, he was an enemy of the state. That means the whole state of Israel was against him. And you know what he found out? No matter what, God's bigger than all that. Amen. He's bigger than that. Now listen, some of y'all need to write this down. And some of y'all put a good face on when you're in here. Sometimes y'all feel like you're surrounded by the enemy. Praise God, and you won't let anybody know it, but I'm telling you, God knows it because He put it in His Word. If you feel like you're surrounded and you feel like the enemy is after you all the time, know this, God is bigger than your enemy. He's bigger than him. He's better than him. He's stronger than him. Listen to what David said. I love this. Some of y'all want to get delivered where you could go to the mall. Some of you want to get delivered where you can go to Walmart. Somebody deliver where you want to go to the lake. Some of you want to deliver where you want to have a normal life again, where we can go back to work, where we can go back to our community, where we can go back to school. Listen to what David says. I want you to deliver me from my enemy for this purpose. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. You know what David said? I want you to deliver me, God, where I could worship you like crazy. Never mind. I don't know, Derek. I don't know, man. You know what he just said? If you whoop the enemy that's surrounding me like an army all the time and wear me down and say he's going to kill me, this is what I want you to deliver me for. Not where I can feel good again. Not where my neighbors can say I'm great again. Not where I can go back down and get my job back. Not where I can get my health back. This is what I want to do. I want to go into the house of God and I want to worship you like crazy. I want you to give me a break, Lord. I want you to wear my enemy out for this one thing. Where I can come back in the house of God and show out for you. That's our problem, because most of us have been delivered by a mighty hand of God. He's wore out the enemies in our life, but when we come in the house of God, we don't praise Him like crazy. We don't praise Him like crazy. We kind of subdue ourselves. We keep under control, because if we get out of control, how do we get back in control? I don't want to get out of control, because if I get out of control, then what happens? That's a problem. Our church is so subdued and under control. Amen. God wants you to be out of control every once in a while. Amen. Don't worry. He'll straighten you back up. He'll get your mascara right. He'll get your hair back right. Amen. Ain't that cool? He said, only one reason I want you to deliver me, the only reason I want you to get me out of all this trouble is where I can praise you, in your house. Some of us have been through some crazy stuff. Can I say this? Some of y'all are going to go through some crazy stuff. And this might be the way you want to praise Him. God, will you get me out of this? When, however, I'm going to praise you like crazy. And if I don't even get a chance to praise you like crazy right here, I'll praise you in heaven. If I don't get a break down here, if it don't go my way here, I can... Listen, there's some medicine in her, ain't they? There's some medicine in her, because sometimes you got to remind yourself that this is not your home. This ain't my end. This ain't where I'm going to end up. Pray, the devil sometimes is going to give you some news that you ain't going to recover. You ain't going to make it. You can just whisper to yourself. You ain't got to say it out loud. I'm all right with that, Lord. I'm all right with that, Lord, because I'm saved. Amen. Amen. If you're saved, man, I'm being honest with you. You've already won. Amen. Sometimes you just got to remind yourself that, hey, I'm going home. Right. Amen. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Ain't much you can do to me. You just got to know in your heart. You got to remind. Listen, this message a lot of times, and I'm being honest with you, is not for public consumption, really. This message is for you. This message for you when you one day when you feel like you're on the lowest rung and you don't know what to do, sometimes you're going to remind yourself, hey, God, you get me out of this. I'm going to praise you. You know what really works? Kind of put me on the mind of Paul and Silas. Whether you get me out of here or not, maybe I'll just praise you right here. Maybe some of y'all need to start praising like right now. Even though you feel like terrible. Maybe your situation ain't perfect. Maybe like the enemy, it seems like you got locked up. You know what? I just love you anyway, God. Because I might be surrounded, I might be down, I might be under, but I am not who I was. So every once in a while, I just remind myself, when somebody says, when the devil says, you ain't this and you ain't that, and I say, yeah, but I ain't who I was. He good? Look at this. For in the time of trouble, verse 5, he shall hide me in the pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Has he ever set you upon a rock? God, I love that. God set me in a place that's higher than my enemy. Strong. That I remember when he brought me out of my miry pit. That slippery place. That sinking place. That dark place. And set me on that rock. Amen? He set me on the foundation of who he is. The rock is Jesus Christ. Now you can build up as high as you want to off of Jesus Christ as long as you remember you got a foundation in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when all comes shaking down, ministries, titles, names, all the things they ascribe to you, when it all boils down and shakes down, I come back to the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Somebody says, oh, you're this, you're that. No, 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 I am one saved person. In Jesus Christ. I come all the way back. When the storm, hey, they say it, when the storms are raging, when the storms are raging, what do? You go to the bottom, amen? You get back down to the foundation of the house, amen? When the storms are raging in your life, forget all that stuff. That you run all the way back down to the foundation of Jesus Christ and you say, here I am, Lord. The storm's raging, but I want you to hide me. I want you to hide me in you. Amen? Y'all good? This is going to get real right here. I want y'all to get this. Because this is the realest part of the message, and I love it. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies and round about me. Therefore will I offer in the tabernacle of sacrifices joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, for my heart say unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, that thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. I want y'all to go back up to verse 8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You need to underline that word face. Because so many of us in this room are seeking the wrong parts of God. Amen. Amen? What you want is God's hands. What you want a lot of times is what is in God's hand. Amen? I'll be honest, I am there too a lot of times. God give me, God do, God hey, will you reach out and bless me? God, will you get your hand and do this, right? But I am not seeking His face. When you are in your biggest trouble, when you are in your biggest trial, seek the face of God, seek a relationship with God, seek His what He's doing with His face, not with His hand. So many times we want what's in the hand of God when we should be seeking to see what His face is saying. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. When you look at your dad or your mom, when you ask them for something, you know they don't want to give it to you, or it's too soon to give it to you, or you're not ready for it, but you keep telling them you want the thing that's in their hand. You're disappointed, and they're disappointed. You're disappointed, and they're disappointed. Why? Because you're seeking after something they don't want to give you yet. And they're disappointed because you should be looking at their face and seeing that you're not ready for that yet, and they know that you're not ready for it because they love you enough. So many times we come to God and we ask Him for stuff that He wants you to have, but you're not ready for it yet. or he's doing something else. It's hard preaching right here. Because we just believe, hey God, we just asking you shall receive, knocking it shall be open. Right, unless it's against God's will. There's a lot of times when God's doing something that's bigger than who we are. And if we get in relationship with Him and seek His face, then a lot of times you'll get what's in the hand. Amen. You'll get what God's wanting. And if you don't get it, you'll understand why you didn't get it. Man, there's been many a time when I slowed down and thought about it and started looking at the ripple effect of what God was doing, I realized why He didn't do it the way I wanted Him to do it. Because people got saved. Lives got changed. See, a lot of times we go into a room or we go into somebody's life and we think if this would happen, it would be great. But God's working on so many different levels, on so many different reasons why. There's aunts, uncles, cousins. There's people working in the hospital. There's people working in a nursing home. There's people working in places where God needs to work. And they won't go to church. They won't where to go to God. So God goes to them. You know how many times somebody's been sick, somebody's been hurt, somebody's been broken, and they still worship God? And there's somebody on a third shift working at the hospital who's saying, God, where are you? Why are you real? How's this? And next thing you know, they hear a patient who should be cursing God, praising God. They should hear a family who's mad at, should be mad at God, but they're praising Him anyway. They say things like, you know, we don't understand, we don't know why, but we still love Him, we trust Him. And no matter what, if we come out of this, we don't go out of this, guess what? We're just going to serve Him. Y'all better start saying amen or something. I think Joey hit it best. He said, we're trying to be perfect. We ain't trying to be perfect. We're just trying to show Christ, even though our lives can be as jacked up as they possibly can be sometimes. I mean, they can be sideways. You can be sick, hurt, and dying, and still praise God. You could be hurt physically and emotionally by somebody and forgive them, and people will be like, what are you doing? Amen. I seek the face of God. When I seek His face, I see forgiveness. I see Him forgiving me even though I've sinned against Him. Amen. I see Him loving me and trying to bless me and keeping me even though I'm not who I'm supposed to be all the time. Amen. I'm not seeking what's in His hand. I'm seeking what's on His face. I'm seeking a relationship with Christ, a deep relationship, one where I know Him. Amen. One where I know Him. That way when He says no, I can handle it. And when He says yes, I can handle it. Some of you are blessed because you can handle it when He says no, but you can't handle it when He says yes. You get that blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm out of here, man. I got my healing. I got my deliverance. I got that thing. I'm out of trouble. Boom, you go out the door. Never to come back until you're hurting again. Woo! Don't preach real, brother. Some of you can't handle a yes. Some of you can't handle no. God, if you don't do it right now, I'm not going to believe in you. I'm not going to trust in you. That's not believing and trusting God anyway. Sometimes you got to do the hardest thing you ever hear. It's America don't know how to do it in 2017. Sometimes you just got to wait. Woo! I got drive-through Christianity. How about you? I want to pull up, make my order here, and drive around the window and complain when it ain't ready. Amen? Hey, I've given you 5 minutes. I want my chicken right now. Amen? Hey, God, I've given you four. Didn't you hear me pray? I prayed 13 minutes ago, and you haven't answered yet. God, what's the problem? What's the holdup? I'm God, you're not. That's what the holdup is. And if you'll get on my plan, you'll see that I'm working on a bigger scale. I'm not only trying to save them, I'm trying to save everybody. It's God's will that all be saved. Not just a few, not just the one you want, but everybody. God works on a big level. Amen? God works on... And can I say this? God works slow sometimes. Because He does it right. I see more people get saved when they wasn't nobody around compared to a whole group of people around. You know, God will work on you, man. When you're all by yourself and somebody's prayed for you and somebody's witnessed to you and somebody's... Man, it's hard to go to bed at night. Amen. I've seen people say, man, I had to come to the house of God because I got tired of everybody praying for me and wearing me out. And next thing you know, I'm sitting at the house of God and I got scared of sitting there. I got scared of going on and pretending like I was okay. Amen. People say stuff like, I'm going. You freak out. What? You're going? Okay, I don't know what to do now, but let's go. Amen. Some of y'all think, well, it ain't happening in my time, so it ain't going to happen. Praise God. It don't have to happen in your time. It just has to happen. And man, I've got some loved ones I want to see get saved, but I ain't on a time frame, and I know God's in control of it all. And I tell Him, God, when you want to do it, do it. And do it however you want to do it. That's where we got to get to, seeking His face. Amen. So many times, I'm telling you, we think God is up there in heaven just wanting to do everything we want to do. He is not 911. He is not the spare tire either. Some of y'all probably heard me say this, but we treat God like a donut in the back seat of the car. Amen. It looks weird. Amen. Don't a donut look weird? I've preached this before probably here. I hate when people do that. You take the donut out, that little bitty tire. Why'd they do that? Used to they give you a full-size tire. Amen? But now you go back there and there's a little donut on there. Praise God. But it looks weird, don't it? You ever seen somebody ride too long on the donut? That's Jesus in some people's life. They've had an emergency. They've had a mistake. They've had something go wrong. They pulled over and opened up their trunk, and there's so much junk in the trunk. Amen? Had to preach, won't it? They open it up, and they have to dig through all their junk. Well, where is he? Where's that Bible Mama and them got me when I was 16? Oh, where's that church at? Who's that preacher's name? Oh, my goodness. We need to call so-and-so and have them pray for me. Listen, praise God, you can get a hold of God just like I can. We better get the preacher down here. Well, hey, let me tell you something. If you get a hold of God just like I can, the veil rent for you just like it rent for me. Dig around in the trunk forever, buried up under somewhere is Him, right? Oh, there's Jesus. And we're proud as peacocks in. We go around there, we found Him. He wasn't ever hiding. Man, you could have had Him the whole time, but now it looks weird because you got Jesus riding on something He ain't supposed to be riding on. I'll preach this whole thing out. I don't care. Amen. You put Jesus on your life and He's now the spare tire of your life and you don't look normal because the other three tires don't look like Jesus. Because lying, cheating, sleeping around, drugging, having sex outside of marriage, doing all that don't fit with Jesus. But all of a sudden now you got spiritual because you broke down in life. I'm going. Some of us done that before. We rode too long on the spare, ain't we? Amen? We just left it on there. It's cheaper than going getting another one. Amen? Your life's so messed up, jacked up, you don't even know how to go get another tire. Don't get it plugged. Just throw it in the trunk and ride on it. Amen? God, man. Your old tire's in the back of the trunk. You didn't even put it back in it because it won't fit. It's just hanging in there. All your junk's on top of your mess. Now, you had an emergency. Now your emergency's just piled in there with all your other junk. You don't know which ones are worse. Riding around. Bless Jesus. God's good. God's good. I love Him. I pray He saved me on the side of that road. Now listen, I'm being honest with you. I love when you get saved and I love when God... But listen, He's better than that one-time event. Hey, that's a salvation. Salvation's good and I love it. Praise God. If you ain't saved, you ain't getting into heaven. That's the truth. But let me tell you something. Hey, it's more to salvation than the day you got saved. There's a life lived between there and getting into heaven. Amen? You need to walk it out. There needs to be some growth. There needs to be... You shouldn't be a baby and you shouldn't be on milk. Amen? Riding around on that donut. It looks so weird in your life. Amen? What you should have is Jesus on all four. Jesus as the vehicle. Jesus as the driver. And you should have just been in the car. And if you need be, you needed to be in the back seat. Amen? Not even in the passenger. Well, Jesus in my co-pilot. You're a moron. Amen? I think somebody sung that. Said, give Jesus the lead. Let Him take the wheel. Let me tell you something. Don't even get in the passenger seat. Get in the back seat. Put some duct tape on your mouth for a while and let Him drive it. Amen. Some of y'all, I came to church. Everything should be better. Sometimes you got to let Him drive a little bit longer than Sunday at 12 o'clock. Amen? Well, we made it to church. Hey, man, church is a whole lot more than one service every week. Man, if your life's so jacked up, messed up, you had to dig in the back of the junky trunk to get Jesus out, praise God, you need Sunday night, Wednesday. You need a couple of Bible studies, a prayer room, and you need to get involved with everything God's got for you.
Amen.
Replace all your junk with Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool? All of a sudden you had to dig through a big pile of Jesus to get to any junk, instead of dialing through a bunch of junk to get to Jesus. Wouldn't it be cool for somebody to get into your car and listen to the right radio station? Read some pamphlets in there about Jesus, maybe a Bible. I mean, just some stuff. Instead of who do you worship? I don't know. Ugh. Amen. What are you riding on? What are you going on? I'm going with Jesus. You going with Jesus? Seek His face, not what's in His hand. Not just a one-time deal. Don't just bless me now, God, take care of me now in the storm. I'm talking about when you go through the storm, you'll find He's good. But when you come out of the storm, you'll be even more blessed. I'm going to read verse 10 because I said I was going to try to get there. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Did that read right? I hate preaching on this stuff right here, but it's absolute truth.
Amen.
I'm going to be honest with you. When you get born again, you get born into a new family. And some of us need it. And some of us don't. Thank God for that. I've got some good Christian family, and I got some family that aren't Christian. But I got some people that got saved. And when I got saved, I got joined up with a new family. You know what? Now I got some aunts, uncles, grandparents, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters in Christ Jesus that I can lean on through tough times. Even though my earthly parents sometimes don't get it. My earthly family don't get it. I can look at them and say, you know what? I'm going to treat you like my brothers and sisters. I don't have to say it. It's just a fact. Ain't that cool? Somebody asks, well, I don't like, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't, but you'd be a fool not to. I'm serious. You'd be a fool not to. You'd be neglecting all the food, nourishment, fellowship, iron sharpeneth iron. I'm talking about you can get a blessing here, but guess what? More importantly, you can be a blessing. I used to come to church to get a blessing and found out sometimes I could be a blessing to other people. Man, that's good, ain't it? You know, people look forward for you come to church. Now, there might be some people in your family don't look forward to you pulling up in our driveway. You should have shouted. Even the ones that don't shout should have shouted there. But praise God, there's a handful of people every Sunday waiting for you to pull in. And when you pull in, they are genuinely happy to see you because they love you in the Lord. Ain't that cool? Just a little side of heaven right here on the earth is the house of God. Do we have crazy? Oh, yeah. Just like any other family. Amen? But we look over our crazy and we'll look into Jesus. Amen? Let's all stand as they get a song of invitation.